Street Knowledge Soldiers presents Redemption. And today on the show, I have with me Samuel Capers, fresh off of death row San Quentin State Prison, CDCR number K01264. And we'll be delivering a poem by the title The Crystal Mirror, Glass of Two Faces. Welcome to the show, Samuel.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm honored to have you.
Thank you, man. I'm honored to be here.
I'm honored. So without a further ado, man, go on and spit it out for us, baby.
This poem is called The Crystal Mirror, Glass of Two Faces, and it speaks for itself. So here it is. She bites like a serpent. She stings like a wasp, controlling one's every move and thought. Not a moment does she pity, as the poison of a kiss washes away one's sanity. Bring to the knees even the most powerful of men, speeding up the heart pace in unison with life's fiery darkness, frolicking amongst dead moments created by Father Time. The voices of inbred demons born into a state of chaotic memories, tormented by past horrid nightmares. She brings her unwelcome gift of hate with every hateful dreaded touch, still hoping for one more suckle upon her breast. The lifeblood polluted with shards of bitter glass, dancing before the distorted mirror, the crystal mirror. The glass of two faces mocks as the shrillness of her laughter breaks the fragile spirit of man. She smiles in a way one fears, in the light of flames, paranoia rolling off the tongue upon her death angel's wings. Whispers in demonic shadows speak to the inner conscience, drive others to the light of chaos. She inflicts twisted demons, dreams possessed by maddened souls, visions bought by unholy lost souls. Drowning in the midst of white crystal lies and destruction, they speak in the air and into the ears of God's children. Shreds of sanity soaked with the blood of lost innocence, stain the memories and intentions held together by untold stories of torture. Her hold is like iron and chains unbreakable. No matter where one turns, her grip remains. The glass of two faces holds true to those in the midst of mass suffering. When one kisses the crystal mirror, their life is doomed. There's no escape for the weak-minded. Her touch is black magic. Her kiss, a bite as a black widow. Do not be a fool, my friends. Remember her name. She is Crystal Meth. Crystal Meth. Thank you.
Thank you, Samuel. That's deep.
Thank you.
That's heavy. It's also a glimpse of your talent to put that together. Listening to it sounded dark.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded ruthless.
Mm-hmm. It's the truth.
It is. It sounded deadly.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like someone you really don't want to spend too much time with. Because when you spend time with her, that's all of what she'll do to you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was real heavy. You said you was in a dark place when you wrote it, too.
I was. I was in a dark place. I was strung out. I was high. And it's weird because when I'm under the influence of meth in the past, a lot of emotions, they're twisted, they're dark. Nothing good comes out of me. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, I don't see anything in the light. Everything is shadowed. You know what I'm saying? My actions are shadowed, my thoughts are shadowed, my intentions are shadowed. I'm not a nice person to be around, which is the reason why I decided to get sober.
So, is it fair to say you get in a cloud?
Yeah, a dark cloud.
And then, you know, someone who's in a cloud and it's dark, sometimes you can lose your sense of what's right and wrong, and what's real and what's fake. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. You lose touch with reality. but then you are in a different dimension of reality. See, what crystal meth did to me, it put me in a place of, how can I put it, of extreme dark euphoria. It was a euphoria, but it was a dark euphoria. And let me clarify, let me explain that a little bit.
Please do.
See, euphoria is supposed to be a place of feeling good, a good feeling, a good thing. Dark euphoria, to me, was a place it took me to a place to where I felt good, but I felt good in a dark way. It felt good to go out and do harm. You know, it pumped me up, basically. It just pumped me up to do things that I knew weren't right. Hurt people, shoot, rob, kill, that kind of stuff.
Yes, very dark.
Very dark. And this was normal to me when I was under the influence of crystal. When I was sober, I wasn't like that. Whenever I wanted to go commit a crime, I got high. In reality, when I was sober, I didn't do these things. I had to get high in order to go out and do these things.
So what would you say crystal meth took from you?
It took my life. I'm on death row for a double homicide right now. I was under the influence when these murders took place. I'm not saying I did it, and I'm not saying I didn't do it. You know, for obvious reasons. But I will say it took my life. Took my family, took my freedom, took my peace of mind, took my health. Look, I took my hair. I'm losing my hair. I'm trying to grow my hair back. I have hardly any hair left. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm being real. It was stressful. It was depressing. I got, you know, some mental health issues, not much. I got some mental health issues because of it. So it basically broke me down both physically and emotionally and psychologically.
Absolutely. And for our listeners' sake, I want to express to them that you've been down 27 years.
Yes.
And spent 21, 22 of it on death row.
Yes.
Which is in San Quentin.
Yes.
One of the most nefarious prisons in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got so many people infatuated with the whole death row thing. Right. So to say that you're back out in the population because of Prop 66, you're somewhat a dead man walking because you still walk around with this ugly title that they put on you, which is called condemned.
Exactly.
And I don't like it because you're a human being. No matter what you've done, what you did do or didn't do, right? You're still a human. Only a building should be condemned. Something that you're going to knock down.
Exactly.
And I don't want to knock you down, brother. I want to build you up. And when you spit that to me, I was like, you could take something that's so dark and make it beautiful because even a rose grew through the concrete.
Exactly.
And I think you can save some lives, touch some people who listen to that, who may be battling their addiction now or spiraling out of control, or a family member who loves somebody or has a relationship with man or woman that's altering them to the point their relationship is in shambles because this crystal mirror, glass of two faces, Miss Crystal Meth herself, right, is controlling the party.
I call it the glass of two faces because the drug is very deceiving. You know, you do it at first, when you first start doing crystal meth, you feel good, it's fun, you're enjoying yourself. But as you get deeper into your, and then people who are using, actively using meth know this. As you go deeper into your addiction, it gets uglier and uglier and uglier. It's fun at first, but later on down the line, it's gonna get worse and worse and worse. And for those people who are listening right now that are in their addiction, they know what I'm talking about. Don't stop now. It's gonna take your life. Now you physically.
It's a pit straight to hell, my man.
It is, bro.
I'm gonna give our listeners a little taste. What was your longest binge? How many days in a row had you stayed awake?
People might think of bullshit in the line. 36 days.
Say that again.
36 days.
36.
36.
That's a month and a week.
A month and a week. 36 days.
The human body ain't even supposed to do that.
But it did.
You pushed it to do that.
With
the chemical imbalance that was making you go there. Now, that's insane.
Well, see, I learned from an old biker, eat, drink water, a lot of water, and rest, and you'll be okay. And I followed his directions, and I stayed over 36 days.
No, but that's insane. And for our listeners' sake, I want to just really want them to sit there and listen to that. 36 days awake.
Yeah.
With the chemical imbalancing you and driving you to who knows what, where, and that's why this poem was so strong. And I really want to now chime in on the fact that what would you tell somebody who's battling that and can't find their way out and still have the luxuries of the free world and the freedom to help them think it's still okay because you're a death row inmate who's facing death by injection and that ain't to be played with, and you're a human being who just shared a poem about something that destroyed your life. You just finished telling us it took everything from you, right? What you tell that person who don't want to be here just like you and me?
First of all, I tell them, if you're out there in the free world and you're addicted to meth, you're not free, bro. You are not free. You are trapped in your own personal hell, in your own personal prison. You may think because you can walk out of your house and go buy a pack of cigarettes or what it might be, but you ain't free, bro. And what's gonna happen is eventually, even though you're not free psychologically and mentally, pretty soon you're gonna be not free physically. Cause you're gonna do something. You're gonna end up robbing somebody or killing somebody, even worse, and you're gonna be in prison for the rest of your life. Kick the habit, man. It's not hard to say, I quit. It's hard quitting. You can say, I'm gonna quit all the time, but to actually do it, that's the hardest thing to do. But it's possible because there's thousands of people in this country right now that are kicking meth and they're living clean lives right now. I'm in prison. Prisons pop, it's polluted. It's full of dope in prison. Believe it or not, for listeners out there, there's dope in prison. There's drugs in prison. There's alcohol in prison. But that doesn't mean we have to do it. So you're out there in the free world and you got dope in the free world. You don't have to do it. So, just, you might say, I want to stop. Take a step, another step forward and do it. Make an effort. Go to 12-step meetings. Talk to a drug and alcohol counselor. Just stop, because it's going to take everything that you love dearly away from you. It's going to rip it right out of your hands.
And that is fact, not fiction. That is non-fiction at that. That is the truth. And anybody who may think this is some acting or just a thing to get some likes and views on YouTube, nah, this is to save some lives. Because Samuel Capers is sentenced to death. And I really want to say, I hope our listeners can appreciate a piece like this. Before we cut out, because we're going to get these 15 minutes, man, what you want to say to the audience, man?
I'm going to say, man, you know me, you know, keep me in mind when y'all say your prayers at night. Whisper a little prayer for me, you know. I'm not asking for your money. I'm not asking for anything. Just your prayers. Keep me in mind, you know. Keep me in mind.
I salute that. I keep you in mind by inviting you into this podcast so you can touch the world a little bit with your voice. If you like what Samuel was saying, his CDCR number is K, as in King, 01264. Hit up. Go on and download that Getting Out app and get on him and on that GTL and send him a line, send him a question, holler at him. And if you need a sponsor, what better sponsor to get you than somebody who's living it and is in a real trench and is telling you you don't want to end up here. So if you're battling something, go out there and get help, professional help. Don't be too proud to ask for that help. Exercise that step one. Just admit that you're powerless and go find a power greater than you that can restore you to your sanity. And from SKS Redemption, we salute you, Samuel.
Thank you very much.
And to our listeners, God bless.
Peace out.
Amen.